You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Joining me on the line is Susan Lindauer. Susan, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, Dave. It's great to be on with you.
Susan, I want to, for the benefit of the listeners, give them a little bit of background about who you are. Of course, you could do that yourself, but I want to read here from Wikipedia because your name might be as familiar to the listeners as, of course, it should be. But once I read this, I think that a lot of them probably say, yeah, oh, yeah, I know who she is. Oh, that's her. Okay. So, of course, in a good way. So let me read this here. Susan Lindauer. And at the end of what I read, please make all the corrections that might be applicable, if there are any. It says that you were born July 17th, 1963. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, so there you go. Chalk one up.
Wikipedia originally had two different birth dates, and the funny story was that I actually had to have an attorney contact Wikipedia and threaten them with a lawsuit because they gave me three different birthdays in 1 year. And in order to get it straightened out, I tried to contact them directly and tell them who I was. And they're like, how can you prove you're Susan Lindauer? And I said, well, how can anybody else pretend they know when I was born except me?
Of course, you could always edit Wikipedia yourself.
Oh, no. Wikipedia won't be edited by anyone who is favorable to me. Wikipedia is one of the most dishonest sources about my story.
Well, I'm glad you said that, but I edit Wikipedia, not frequently, but I will certainly edit it and let's see what happens. Let's see if it stays up there for you, okay?
Sure.
All right, so let's continue here. You are an American journalist and anti-war activist, and in 2003, you were accused of conspiring to act as an unregistered lobbyist for the Iraqi intelligence service and engaging in prohibited financial transactions with the government of Iraq under Saddam Hussein, or Saddam, however you want to say it. Go ahead, you were going to say something.
Well, it was actually unregistered agent, which has different connotations in the intelligence community. I was not an unregistered lobbyist. I was an unregistered agent.
Okay.
But that was not true either. So.
Well, right, of course. But that needs to be changed.
Wikipedia is, anyway, so keep going.
You know what? I should just edit it right when we're talking here.
We've edited it so many times, and within the hour, it goes right back.
Amazing.
So we may end up with a lawsuit. We've actually threatened them with a $20 million lawsuit. So try to change it and see if now that we've threatened them with a lawsuit as recently as a few months ago, maybe they'll change it now.
Yeah, that's interesting. I will change it after we go through this. Lindauer was found mentally unfit to stand trial in two separate hearings. During her incarceration, she won the right to refuse forced antipsychotic medication, which the United States Department of Justice claimed would render her competent to stand trial. How about that sentence, Susan?
The Bureau of Prisons said that it would be unnecessary to drug me, and they were ordered to do so by the Justice Department central offices after they had agreed that there was no purpose to it. We actually have documentation of this. It's so crazy what they did. So anyway, keep going. It's crazy.
Sure.
It's crazy what they did.
She was released in 2006, and all charges were dropped in 2009. That's
right. I was held under indictment from March of 2004 until 2009. The entire time I demanded a trial, my attorney declared that I was fully competent to assist in my defense. To help pay off my legal bill, I helped my attorney, Brian Shaughnessy, file a brief to the United States Supreme Court on behalf of a different client. And that was how I paid off my legal bill. And that was done a month after the Justice Department dropped my case. It was a horrific nightmare, an appalling offense to the democracy of our country and the constitutional protections. I am a formidable fighter. If I was not a formidable fighter, I mean, I can pack a punch. If I had been a weak defendant, they would have given me a trial. And if I had been a weak prisoner, they would have succeeded in forcibly drugging me. But the fact that the Justice Department made the accusations and then was unable to go into court and complete the case and make a presentation to a jury should tell you that they had an empty little blowgun and I was carrying an RPG over my shoulder into the courtroom. I was going to blow those MFers away and they were going to pay for it. I would should have conducted my own oversight investigation into Iraqi pre-war intelligence right in that courtroom. Also, my judge, Michael Mukasey, was hearing Larry Silverstein's insurance claims for the 9/11 attack and the World Trade Center attack, and I would go into court saying, Your Honor, we knew about 9/11, and I have witnesses I want to call into this courtroom. Here are their names, addresses, phone numbers. In fact, once the guy actually came into court, and he was waiting, ready to testify on that day, and I said, You don't have to take my word for anything. You interview my witnesses, swear them under oath, look them in the eye, examine them, ask them anything you want, and we'll defend this. The first judge in my case was Michael Mukasey, who later became U.S. Attorney General. He passed this off to Judge Loretta Preska, who is a dirty judge who should be forced off the bench. She was nominated to the appellate court by George Bush 9 days before she declared me incompetent. Her husband worked at the law firm that represented Daddy Bush, George okay. Bush Sr. We had psychiatrists from the defense side saying there is absolutely nothing wrong with Susan Lindauer. We do not understand why you're doing this. We had by that time 5 different psychiatrists weighing in, all supporting the defense. My attorney said that he had never heard of any case when a defendant was declared incompetent over the powerful objections of her own attorney. It had never happened before, but the government was so afraid. The first arrest occurred during the election fight between George Bush and John Kerry, and it carried all the way through the election between John McCain and Barack Obama. And if you don't think that an election counts and the right to vote counts, let me tell you, the Justice Department, the U.S. Marshals tried to take me into custody and remove me so that I could not talk on the radio, I could not publish any articles, right up to the minute of the November election between John McCain and Barack Obama. My prosecutor left the Justice Department to go work for John McCain. Dirty, crooked politicians in the Justice Department, one of the most corrupt agencies, is the Justice Department. I have no respect for those people at all. None. Bar none. They are dirty, crooked. They're criminals. It's criminal behavior. Committing perjury, obstruction of justice, falsifying testimony to a federal judge. We were ready to beat the crap out of those people. And let me tell you, I am trained as a fighter. As an asset, I am trained to run a blockade. You can throw anything at me and I will get past it. That's what I do. That is my job. And if they could do this to me, you who are listening have no chance because I know how to fight. The CIA taught me. The CIA taught me. You can throw anything at me and I will keep going and going and going. The FBI agent who arrested me told me that I was, quote, the most outstanding defendant he'd ever seen because they could not stop me at all. No matter what they did, I was bloodied and beaten. I had broken, you know, every broken bone soul-wise, spiritually speaking. Every bone in my body was supposed to be broken. I was supposed to be left for dead. They really thought they'd got me. And this trail of Wikipedia, I'm glad you mentioned Wikipedia because Wikipedia is so loaded with garbage. We have threatened to sue Wikipedia, a $20 million lawsuit to break them, and I hope it would shut them down entirely. But my attorney has also said that there would come a day when the federal government would try to sanitize what it did to me. And he said, Susan, think of it this way. There will come a day when Wikipedia is the only living record of what they did to you. And he said, on that day, you're going to want people to know because it's so appallingly awful. And it shows how truly criminal the Justice Department is. And every time you open your mouth, you vindicate yourself. And every time people hear you speak, they know that this garbage, that at one point they tried to, I think Wikipedia may have sanitized part of this. At one point, Wikipedia originally, a few years ago, tried to say that I was a religious maniac. And that I was hallucinating nonstop. I do believe in God. I am not an atheist. For those of you who are atheists, I don't care. I don't go around worrying about other people's faith in God or anything that anybody else believes. That's your business. It doesn't matter to me at all. But I see the beauty of this earth and I see the mystery of the earth. And I love it. And I'm very happy. And that was the other thing that used to make them so angry, was that no matter what they did to me, I always had a smile on my face. I was like, you're never going to beat me. You're never going to change the fact that I did this, because this is the truth of history. And you cannot kill the truth of history. And I said, I love this life too much to do you the favor of committing suicide. So you're going to be stuck with me for another 40 years.
At least, right?
At least.
All right. That's good. I'm glad that you explained this stuff.
That's a long-winded story.
Well, it's a very important story, and I'm glad that you touched upon it, because in future interviews, as I mentioned prior to this interview, I want to get into the details of your book, which I'm going to bring up in a moment. But let me backtrack a little bit here.
Sure.
To your beginnings. Now, again, going back to our friends at Wikipedia, it says that Lindauer is the daughter of John Howard Lindauer II, the newspaper publisher and former Republican nominee for governor of Alaska.
That is true.
Her mother was Jackie Lindauer, 1932 to 1992, who died of cancer. In 1995, her father married Dorothy Oremus. Did I say that right?
Yes.
A Chicago attorney who, along with other members of her family, owned the largest cement company in the Midwest.
That is true.
Okay. And Lindauer.
Huge Republican campaign contributors. My father's side of the family is big-time Republicans.
And you're also a second cousin to former White House Chief of Staff Andrew Card. That's right.
That's factually true, yes.
Okay. Let's go back even further here. Let me know if this is right. And this is actually the last part of Wikipedia that I want to go over, not even this entire section. It says here that you attended East Anchorage High School in Anchorage, Alaska, where you were an honor student and you were in school plays. You graduated from Smith College in 1985 and earned a master's degree in public policy from the London School of Economics. You worked as a temporary reporter at the Seattle Post-Intelligencer for 13 weeks in 1987.
Let me stop you right there.
Okay.
Who comes up with 13 weeks? Who did that? Who invented a story like that? I was filling in for a reporter whose wife was dying of brain cancer, and he was taking care of his wife in her last days, and when he finished his family medical leave, he came back. And so this is the kind of crazy stuff that somebody is like trying very hard to attack me with things they don't even know. How would they know that? How would they know that?
That's right.
That's the kind of crazy things that Wikipedia has done, which are like inventing my birthday. And when I called them on, I said, excuse me, this is not the right birthday. They're like, how do you know it's not your birthday? And I actually had my attorney send them a birth certificate to prove it, because they were like, we only go by documentation. We can say anything about you we want. It doesn't have to be true. Why are you so concerned about the accuracy? You don't even have my accurate birthday, and yet you're fighting against me saying what it is.
Right.
Who comes up with this stuff 13 weeks? Filled in for a reporter whose wife was dying of brain cancer.
I'll take that out if I get in there. And as an editorial writer at the Everett Herald in Everett, Washington in 1989.
Yes.
Okay. Then you were a reporter and researcher at U.S. News and World Report in 90 and 91.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Then you worked for Representative Peter DeFazio, a Democrat from Oregon, in 1993, and then for Representative Ron Wyden, a Democrat from Oregon, in 1994, before joining the office of Senator Carol Mosley Braun, a Democrat from Illinois, where you worked as a press secretary and speechwriter.
Exactly.
Okay, one last sentence. And in 2003, you were working for Representative Zoe Lofgren, a Democrat from California.
A horrible Democrat from California. You want to put some trash in Wikipedia. Zoe Lofgren was the ranking Democrat on the House Ethics Committee, and she would use congressional staff to get the batteries changed on her car, or to get an oil change on her car, or to pick up her dry cleaning. And she would come into the office for no more than 24 hours at a time. She would fly in on a Tuesday night. She'd come in to work on Wednesday. And then on Thursday morning, she'd fly back to California. She was one of the most lazy, stupid people. And she's an example of why our country's leadership has become so mediocre. I wish somebody would put that in Wikipedia.
Well, I could put it in, but they'll probably not. And I guess her name is pronounced Zoe, not Zoe.
Yes.
Okay, now, this is where I want to go from here, because you have a lot to say.
Yes.
And rightfully so. What you went through was hell, and it was against, as you said, all of the principles, or almost all the principles, in the United States Constitution. What happened to you was horrendous, and it could happen to anyone. If it could happen to you, it could happen to anyone. So
that's right. What I'd really like to do is actually, since you've brought up the Wikipedia stuff, I'd like to tell you the real Susan Lindauer before I become an asset that's not in Wikipedia. As long as we have the juxtaposition of the official story versus who I really am, what does it mean that I did those things, if I may, Dave?
Of course.
For example, my mother was a civic leader, very famous in Alaska, for supporting the fisheries industry. Alaskans have a reputation for being anti-environmentalist. My mother was one of the first women to support conservation with environmentalism and recognize that in order to preserve the fishing industry itself and to create jobs and protect the longevity, there had to be better management of fishing resources for the long term. And sustainable resource development. She was a pioneer in this. She was also instrumental in supporting better health care for Native children in the villages and better schools in the villages of Alaska. She had 10 newspapers all through the state, including, she was very proud, the newspaper in Point Barrow on the North Slope. And she would have children write stories of their lives, and she would publish them. And it was a beautiful community-oriented newspaper. She was a wonderful, wonderful woman, very much loved. And she would have good, healthy arguments, debates with Senator Ted Stevens, Senator Frank Murkowski, Congressman Don Young. She was a formidable opponent, a proud defender of all things pro-Alaskan. And she taught me a lot as a human being about building up as opposed to tearing down. She was a real true pioneer woman. She had gone to Alaska following my father when he was the chancellor of the University of Alaska in Anchorage, and they had stayed because they saw so much promise on the frontier. And she dealt with the Russians, she dealt with the Japanese, and she was the president of the World Affairs Council. And all these foreign leaders, foreign embassy, foreign diplomats, you know, who were on their media junkets through Alaska, and they were going to have a stopover in Alaska and get to go fishing and, you know, maybe hiking in the mountains or something like that, and they'd come and give a talk in Anchorage on their way to the wilderness. Mm-hmm. My mother would organize these talks and organize their trips, and then they'd come over to our house. And so as part of entertaining them, they would come to my home, and I would interact with these people when I was very young. This is something that I wish Wikipedia had been allowed to come out, was that all through my youth, because of my mother and because of her newspapers and because of her civic mindedness, we were dealing with national and environmental policy, fisheries policy, but also we had the World Affairs Council meetings at our house, and I was constantly interacting with these people. I actually met President Hosni Mubarak when I was in high school. He was then the vice president of Egypt, and I met various ambassadors, secretaries of foreign policy, foreign relations, all over the world, who would come to Anchorage. They were there not to see me, but it was an opportunity that I had to have this exposure to a bigger world beyond the Alaskan frontier.
You grew up in Alaska?
Yes.
For how long were you there?
I was there in junior high and high school. And then I went to Smith College in Massachusetts, and that opened my doors even more, broadened my sights. I loved Smith. It was the best, most beautiful place. I loved Northampton. The Seven Sister Colleges were so empowering. They taught me to have vast expectations for my own ability to contribute. And then I went to the London School of Economics. And there, for the first time, I was exposed to Arabs and Muslims. And the London School of Economics at that time attracted a major educational institution for the sons and daughters of foreign diplomats and foreign leaders. So they were heavily represented by the Middle East. And I was exposed to a broader global picture than I had ever imagined. Again, my world just kept pulling open and bigger and bigger and bigger. But it started with my mother. And she was a tremendous lady. She was loved. During the Vietnam War, she had been an activist who spoke at draft board hearings. She was a college teacher, and she helped her students get out of the Vietnam War, get out of the draft. But then she also counseled returning veterans, you know, young men who'd come and seen these atrocities in Vietnam who were devastated and unhappy, and she would try to be supportive of them. And so by the time we got to Anchorage, she had a lot of parties with the generals of Elmendorf Air Force Base, and they would come to our house and they would say, "Oh, Jackie, we've seen the dossiers on you, and man, you were something. You were a real beatnik in your younger years, but we all thank you for being so supportive of Vietnam veterans." And they loved her. Everybody loved my mother. She was passionately anti-war, but she also showed me that if you are opposed to the war, you have to be sensitive and caring for the soldiers who are fighting it, because they are the ones who are the damaged parties. They're the ones who are injured by the violence. She was always very attentive to, you know, opposing the policy, but not the people. And she was way on the cutting edge of a lot of things. So when I was attacked by the Bush administration, they should have had a mother like mine. If Barbara Bush had been Jackie Lindauer, let me tell you, this would have been a different country today.
And that would be a good thing. Let me just go to, because you mentioned Smith College, and just for the benefit of listeners, give them a little background about Smith College, because this is applicable here and important. Smith College is a private, independent women's liberal arts college. Of course, you said it was in Massachusetts. And notable alumnae include, and some of these people I don't know, but Nancy Reagan.
Yes.
Barbara Bush, and she dropped out before graduating. Betty Friedan, Gloria Steinem, Julia Child, Sylvia Plath, and Laura Tyson. And of course, she was in government. So it's a well-known college then.
And Jane Harmon, the former chair of the House Intelligence Committee.
Oh, my God.
Yes. But it's also very advanced and cutting edge in terms of women's expectations and the idea that women should be fully contributing to society and should not be withheld back. A lot of Smithies have been on the forefront of their careers and their professions.
Mm-hmm. But it is an elite college, obviously.
It's very elite. It's one of the Seven Sisters.
Okay, and what does that mean, Seven Sisters?
We're set up to be the women's college parallels to the Ivy League schools, because originally the Ivy League colleges were only for men. So, for example, Smith was partnered up with Amherst College and Yale College, and Wellesley College, another woman's college where Hillary Clinton went to school, was partnered up against Harvard, and Barnard was partnered up against Columbia, for example.
Okay. Thank you for explaining that. Now, prior to being in Alaska in junior high and high school, where did you grow up? Where were you born?
Born in Oklahoma, though I don't remember it. I've been to Oklahoma. They've told me I was born there. I really don't remember.
That was Three Dog Night, right?
Three Dog Night, yes.
Right. How long were you in Oklahoma for? Do you remember that? Or
18 months. Father was finishing up his PhD.
Okay. And then after Oklahoma, where'd you go?
California.
And where'd you go in California? How long were you there?
My father first got a teaching job at Occidental College in Los Angeles, and then at Claremont Men's College, which is now called Claremont McKenna. And then from there, we went on sabbatical to the University of Sussex in England, and then went back to California, and then went up to Alaska.
Okay, so how long total were you in California?
Oh, goodness, I don't know, 10, 12 years? Elementary school and junior high.
All right. Wikipedia aside, after this experience, which obviously we're going to be getting into a lot more detail in the next couple of interviews, but after this experience, you wrote a book. When did you first come up with the idea to write your book, which is called Extreme Prejudice, the terrifying story of the Patriot Act and the cover-ups of 9/11 in Iraq?
I got the idea for writing the book from my boyfriend, Jay Fields, right after my indictment. And we knew that this was an important story, that Americans needed to hear the real truth about Iraqi pre-war intelligence and the CIA's advance warnings about 9/11. And I knew that everybody understood why they were suppressing the truth, because the government was so desperate to reinvent the facts so that politicians in Washington could escape their responsibility for having pushed the country into this catastrophic war. And the truth mattered a great deal. This was not a vapid story. This was the hard, cold facts that were so different than what you had been told. The lies were bigger than what you had been told, what you could have imagined in your worst nightmare. So we knew that it had to be written.
This is where I want to close the interview, this interview, but I want to recommend to the listeners that if they haven't already picked up this book, it's very important that they do. It's very engaging. You write very well, Susan. I don't know if you've written a book before. Is this your first book?
I wrote a novel before. I appreciate being told that. I am sometimes hit by trolls who attack me, who are really angry at what I'm trying to say. And so I have to fight off all sorts of accusations. And I appreciate that you enjoy the book, because I think that's important for people to understand that it's so political, that the knowledge that it contains is so threatening. The truth is so powerful. And truth is not something that everybody wants to hear or wants you to know. Everybody has a stake in controlling your knowledge of this truth. And there are big forces at play that need you to be ignorant. and they are not well served by my speaking out. So keep in mind, what I believed when I was in prison was that a man can be judged by the strength of his enemies. And who are the people who are coming after you? And I was attacked by George Bush and Dick Cheney and Colin Powell and Paul Wolfowitz and right-wing neocons who had to lie. They couldn't even tell the truth about who I was. And if they'd been able to allow me to have a trial, that would have been one thing, because then that would have shown they had some confidence in their attacks on me. But they knew very well it was completely fraudulent. There was no evidence to support what they were saying. So they could only make the accusations until they got into a courtroom, and then it would collapse.
Yeah, it's very important that every American read the book and find out exactly what happened to you, because as I said, if they could do it to you, and as you said, if they could do it to you, then the rest of us are just soft targets.
I want to close with this comment. This is very important. I was trained by the CIA for a decade to run any blockade. I am a child, a creature of black ops and operations. I'm not an analyst. I'm the one who goes in and deals face to face with terrorists. Terrorism was my baby for a decade. We'll go into this in future interviews, but I am trained to survive and prevail and keep going against any opposition that I face. And that's how I beat these people. And what they did to me was horrifying. It was absolutely horrifying. But the fact that I could keep beating them was a sign of my strength. And they had to play dirty, because it was a dirty fight to the bitter end. And it's horrifying.
I know, and I'm really looking forward to digging a lot deeper into this. So, Susan Lindauer, thanks again for explaining all this to the listeners, and looking forward to talking to you real soon.
Okay. Thank you, Dave.